Well, what do you see? What do you see today? What is it that you focus on? What is it that you are absorbing and taking in? Well, the Word of God charges us to taste and see. God motivates us to taste and see. I pray that you are tasting and you are seeing more than what your eyes can see, but you're able to taste and see the revelations of God. What is it that the Lord is doing? What is God saying? What is it that is happening in the midst of your life that you can honestly say, the Lord is good? Taste and see, my friends. Taste and see, saints of God, and let us proclaim and magnify the Lord together. Are you excited this morning? Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I pray that you are excited today and that you have a reason to rejoice. I know that the snow is coming down and that's a challenge in its own right, but there are many reasons to rejoice, and snow is one of them. It really is. Because it is just beautiful. Hallelujah. Don't you love the way, the beauty of it? It is beautiful. I love the snow. I tell you, this is my favorite time of year. And it is exciting to be able to taste and see. Little Leona said to me, she said, Pop, do you like snow? And I said, yes, I love the snow. And she said, do you like to eat it? I said, oh, yes, that's my favorite thing to do. I said, just make sure it's clean snow. She said, sometimes I eat clean snow, but sometimes I don't see that there's dirt in it. It's a little dirty. I said, that's okay. Those are called minerals. Hallelujah. So there's always reason to rejoice and give thanks, and there's always something to be grateful for. And even when we look and we see and we taste, we can always recognize and come to the conclusion that God did this. God did this. God is in this. God has created this. He has made all of this so that you and I could be able to experience God. Hallelujah. This is about experiencing God. Life is about coming to know Him. So what have you eaten today? What have you eaten today? What is it that you have dieted on? Have you eaten anything? This is the early crew. Hallelujah. So the question is, what have you eaten? It's the late guys that are coming later, the next service. Those that got right now, they're laying back. They're like, yeah, they're going through drive-thrus. They're picking up all kinds of stuff, you know. But, you know, we all have eaten something today. We've all partaken of something today. And here in Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Do you take refuge in God today? Are you taking refuge in the Lord? I tell you, there is no better place than in the Lord. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, it can be challenging to get there sometimes. Isn't that right? It can be challenging because of what we have tasted, what we have seen. And sometimes those experiences hinder us from being able to press our way in. But we must be able to fight. We must be able to persevere. We must be able to seek with all our heart, all our mind, all our souls to enter in to the presence of God, into the refuge of God. The righteous run into Him, the Word of God says, and they are safe. Hallelujah. Every time I hear that passage or that verse and I read it, I always picture the guy who's running in from third base to home, taking that dive, and the umpire goes, safe, hallelujah. Oh, that's the way it feels sometimes. You're running to get home, to get to the place of refuge, and you're diving, making a dive for it so you can be safe. Hallelujah. And this is why our theme this month is Taste and See. Because the life that we are living as the people of God is designed to be a life filled with experiences. And the experiences that we have each and every day are designed to draw us closer to God, to help us to see the manifestations of God, the faithfulness of God, the experience the love of God. And every day there are opportunities to give God the glory, to honor God, to praise God. And so when we face these challenges, when we face these difficulties, the reason behind them is to take our focus away from God and on to the problem, on to the situation that God has already taken care of. And that then means it becomes a distraction. And so God has called us to focus on Him, to look to Him, to trust in Him, and God will make us safe in the place of refuge as we taste and see the goodness of the Lord. And so our theme for today is, you are what you eat. Hallelujah. You are what you eat. Well, praise God. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And God, we just ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and renew our mind as your word washes over us and refreshes us and breathes life into us. Help us to hear and to see and to perceive as we taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Help us, oh God, to even endure and overcome the obstacles that we're all facing as we go through life, and even in these challenging and difficult days and times, help us to recognize that there is a reason to proclaim and magnify the Lord and to pursue the goodness of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, there is nothing greater than a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is nothing greater than the power of His presence, the Spirit of God operating under the anointing of God. And as we walk with God, even as we go through the ups and downs of life, we find ourselves being able to draw on the resources of God's strength. And many of the challenges that we face can be draining. They can deplete you of your energy, of your strength. And that is why the Word of God says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Because as long as we can hold on to joy, the Lord strengthens us. We experience God. And so the number one thing Satan tries to do is to rob us of our joy. And it is a war through words. A war through words designed to cause you to lose your joy. And so as you go through life, as you have challenges and difficulties, as you go through the experiences that we go through, the words that are fired in the process are words that are designed to either bring life or to rob you of your joy, and therefore weakening you and bringing you to a place of defeat, so that all that you have tasted in the past melts away as if it never happened. All that God has ever done fades away as if it never happened or never existed. And the only thing that exists is the one thing that has robbed you of your joy and has taken you to a place where you no longer have the strength to do the very thing that God has called you to do. This is an experience that we all share as we go through life in one way or another, one day or another, and it happens. It happens between husbands and wives, between parents and children. It happens between bosses and coworkers and those who are involved in various occupations. It doesn't matter who you are, what status in life you're from, or what your financial condition is, or who your friends are, or what it is that you are attempting to do as you go through life in whatever country or place you find yourself or where you have come from. We all experience these experiences. And this is the way of life, because life is a war. And it's a war for your soul and mine. And God has called us to remember the things that God has done. As the Israelites moved through the promised land, through to the promised land, through the wilderness, over and over again, God said, remember, remember, remember. And he called them to establish pillars and monuments that were designed to remind the people for generations throughout history of all that God has done. God wants us to remember, if he did it before, he can do it again. If he's done it for someone else, he can do it for you. Hallelujah. I like to turn that around. If he did it for you, he can do it for me. If he did it for them, he will do it for us. And this is something that helps us come closer to God. Anything that is designed to rob you of your joy is not of God. It is not from God. It is a demonic strategy to stop you in your effectiveness, so that you will no longer have the strength. Because without strength, you cannot prevail. Without strength, you weary and become tired, and you find yourself, even if you are willing, unable to. And this is what Satan is a master at doing. And he does it by getting into our heads with words that are designed to shut down our central processing units, to shut down and cause gridlock or confusion or chaos, and to seek out things that are only distractions to keep us from doing the will and the work of God. And so God says, taste and see. Taste and see. And this is why we must eat wisely. Now, we all know, we're all familiar with the importance of a good diet and eating well. I don't know anyone who eats chips and drinks soda for all of their meals. Hallelujah. Brother, put your hand down. I saw he picked his hand up. His wife smacked his hand down. She said, no, you don't, because that would be an indictment on her. That means she's not, you know. All right, I'm just saying. So right now he's asking for forgiveness. He's right now. So God wants us to have these experiences with him so that we can see and know that the effort that it takes to maintain a good diet is worth it. There's nothing like a good breakfast, they say. The most important meal of the day. And, you know, bacon used to be bad, but now it's good. Oh, it is good. Oh, bacon is good. The Bible says, taste and see that the bacon is good. Hallelujah. And we know that there is nothing better than a good breakfast with bacon and eggs, sausage. There's some French toast in there, I think. There's some fruit for you fruitcake eaters. And there's some other tasty treats in there. But a good breakfast, a good meal, a well-balanced meal is required for healthy living. Isn't that right? For a life that will enable you to have longevity. Longevity is the key, and God understands that, and that is why he gives us of himself so that we can have longevity. God is eternal. That means he never runs out. He never runs dry. God is our provider. He is our source of eternal life. And every good meal comes at a cost. No one eats a good meal cheaply. Isn't that right? It's hard to get a cheap meal and have it be healthy. Fast food restaurants are even expensive, but they're unhealthy. And I recently read a report on just how much filler is in the meat at fast food restaurants. I was astounded that there are some chains, I won't mention names, but you can talk to me later, that only have 30% real beef in their meat, and the rest is filler. 30%. Wow. And the filler is not good. Not good stuff. And if you're eating random things and are not paying attention, you can find yourself eating things that are going to rob you, not in the immediate sense, but in the long-term sense of your longevity. And God is thinking about longevity. God is thinking about the importance of us enduring to the end. And it is a battle, it is a fight to be able to survive, to be able to thrive in the ways of the Lord. And it is going to cost you something. It is not going to be cheap. Life is like a buffet. Everyone chooses their own meal. You have all types of choices and options, and as you are going through life, you can choose, I'll have a little of this, or I'll have a little of that. I'll have a little of this, or I'll have a little of that. And there is a battle going on in the culture for fine dining lifestyles versus buffet lifestyles. The people who just want to be able to eat anything and everything, and it's all okay, it's all great, it doesn't matter, mind your business. I am going to eat what I want to eat, I'm going to do what I want to do, and no one can stop me. I don't want to hear that it's not good for me, that it's not healthy. I don't care, that's your opinion, those are your thoughts, that's your idea, but I can assure you I have the right to eat what I want. And so those of us who are a little more conscientious of our life and of life itself, and we are looking to choose wisely. We don't want to just eat anything. We would like to, but we know it will rob us of our longevity. And so in Jeremiah 15, we see this story of, it's a historical account of Jeremiah when he was interacting with God as the Chaldeans were preparing to come in from Babylon and attack the people of God, to attack Judah. And they were afraid. They heard that this warrior tribe of people were coming in. They were the most powerful military force in the world at the time. And they were brutal. They were ruthless. They had no problem killing children and women and doing all types of horrific and terrible things to people, and they were known for their brutality. They were the worst of the worst. They were a powerful force. But the interesting thing about this historical account is that God sent them. God sent them against the people of God. And the reason was because the people of God decided that they were going to forsake the law of Moses and the ways of the Lord and follow the way of the culture. They were going to adapt to the culture that was around them, the people that had migrated in and began to become watered down in their faith and in their trust in God. They began to forget what God had done for them and where they came from and how they got there. And God said, I'm going to send you a wake-up call. Hallelujah. God sends them a wake-up call. And here in verse 15, he is hearing this message. Jeremiah is hearing this from God. And he says, you know, you who know, O Lord, remember me. Take notice of me and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. Do not, in view of your patience, take me away. Know that for your sake, I endure reproach. Jeremiah, who is also known as the weeping prophet, he was one who was not allowed to take a wife. God said, no wife for you. I want you to be my servant. I want you to focus on bearing my name and bringing my message. I want to use you as an example to the people. And Jeremiah was faithful to God. He did everything that God asked him to do. He had a good relationship with the Lord. And whatever it was that God asked him to do, Jeremiah did it. But the people were against him. They knew him as the one who was always bringing in a message from God that they did not like. And so Jeremiah was begging and pleading with the people, and the people would not listen. And so God is finally bringing things to a head. And he says to Jeremiah, I'm going to bring in these Chaldeans. And he warns him and he lets him know that when the Chaldeans come, if you don't fight against them, then you can live. But if you fight and you resist them, you will die. This is the message to all the people. Tell them to go with the Chaldeans. Don't seek refuge from anyone else except them. And so this was a tough message. And Jeremiah was now pleading for God to save him. He's saying, but God, what about me? Are you going to have me taken away in all of this? I've been faithful to you. I have done what you've asked me to do. Don't take me away. I've endured reproach or rebuke. People have hated me because I was telling them what you said and doing what you called me to do. He said, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Oh, saints of God, here he is. He's pleading his case. He's standing in the gap, not only for himself, but really for all of Israel, all of Judah. And he is crying out to God, saying, but God, have mercy on me. He's saying, I found your words and I ate them. Hallelujah. He ate the word of God. That means he took it in and he absorbed it. And he allowed the word of God to be the nutrients in his body that would give him the strength to endure. And when you eat the word of God, when you are chewing on it, chewing the cud, as they say, as you would abide in the word of God, it will transform you. It will renew your mind. It will strengthen you. It will empower you. And even when others are doing whatever it is they feel they want to do, you will have strength to stand in the spirit of God, because the word of God will have become your source of strength, your nutrients. And you will have had joy and delight in your heart. Hallelujah. That is what the Word of God will do. The Word of God will give you joy and delight. This is where the strength comes from. When you have no joy, you have no delight. And when you have no delight, there's no chicken tonight. Hallelujah. I don't know, it just came to me. And so, God wants us to maintain our joy through the Word of God so that we can eat well, so that we can be revived, so that we can have the nutrients that God needs us to have, because there's always a day coming that you do not expect where you will need the strength of God. You see, the thief never tells you when he's coming or when he's going to break in. Isn't that what the scripture says? He comes unexpectedly. And if that's the case, we have to be ready. We have to always be in a state of readiness. We have to be strengthened in God. That is why Paul says to abide in the Word. He says over and over again to meditate on it day and night. We need the Word of God renewing our minds, refreshing our minds, because if we don't, in the day of strength, we will not have it. And we will think of every other word except the Word of God. And you and I, we need the Word of God for the Spirit of God to bring it back to our remembrance. We need to build pillars in our hearts and in our minds so that we can remember what it is that God has done for us. And remember how he has brought us from the land of Egypt through the promised land and to the promised land and overcome all types of obstacles and challenges and difficulties and all that God has done in the midst of us. We cannot forget these things. We must have a mind capable of remembering, People who can't remember things end up in a home. Isn't that right? People who can't remember things end up in an institution, on medication. They can't remember who their family members are. They can't remember who and what has taken place. They think of all kinds of random things that come into mind that have relevance. Some have no relevance. Some are from now or recent times. Others are from way in the past, and there is a mix-up of reality and what is happening, and God says, eat the Word. Eat the Word. So that as you go through time, you don't find yourself in a state where you can't remember and you don't know what is going on around you because Satan has robbed you of your joy and delight. This is why the Word of God says, delight yourself therefore in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's the Word of God. We must eat like Jeremiah. We must chew on the Word of God. In Psalm 119, 103, the psalmist says, how sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Oh, saints of God, Satan does everything he can to rob us from the Word of God, of the Word of God. There's a buffet of things going on in our lives. There are many things that are designed to rob us of a wise choice. Healthy living, healthy eating. Eat the Word of God. Spend time on the Word of God, chewing on it and allowing it to be absorbed into your body so that you can be strengthened for the day of battle, for the day and the times of difficulty, for the challenges that life brings, so that you will be able to switch the circuits of your memory to those things that God has done, that you would be able to remember and have strength imparted to you as the Word of God comes alive in your mind. And you begin to look to God. You begin to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit of God as opposed to the words that lead to greater confusion and deeper darkness. God has called us to be people who abide in the word. That means you never leave it. You live in it. You live there. You're abiding in the word so that when the enemy rises up with words that are contrary to those words which would bring you joy and delight, you are able to tap in and anchor down as the word of God comes alive. And you are now fortified by the Spirit of God so that you can have wisdom. Wisdom will come to you. And you will shift from an emotional response, which is what the flesh will do when it hears words that are depleted of divine nutrients. You will respond in the wisdom of the Spirit of God, according to his word. And the word of God will come to you. And the word of God will ignite you. It is sweet. And so a good diet requires discipline. You cannot just go through life doing what you need to do, the same old, same old of life. That's going through the buffet, and I'm just picking the same thing every time. I'm just going along. I'm going through drive-thrus. I'm just randomly buying stuff. I'm not looking and reading the ingredients. I looked at a loaf of bread, and I saw it had high fructose corn syrup in it. I said, bread? Bread? Really, bread? Man. And then someone told me, did you know in Europe, bread that comes from America is called cake? They consider it cake because it has so much sugar. Wow. All this time, I'm thinking I'm eating bread. Now you just put a candle on that thing. Somebody hands you a sandwich, put a candle on it. So a good diet, it requires discipline. If you're not paying attention, you won't know what you're eating. You won't know what you're taking in. And God is saying, abide in the word, never leave it. Don't take it for granted. Trust me, it's more important than you know. When you take in the word, it has nutrients that you're not even aware of. But the nutrients in the word of God are designed to give you longevity, to give you strength and power and the ability to overcome whatever life brings your way. You will have your circuits firing. You will remember what God has done. You will recognize the tactics and the strategies of the enemy. You will know good from evil. You will recognize the hand of God from that which is designed to deceive and to create a distraction in order to rob you of your joy, cause you to become powerless. And so God is calling on us to hold on. In Jeremiah 15:18, it says, why has my pain been perpetual and my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you indeed be to me like a deceptive stream with water that is unreliable? Oh, this is the anxiety and the fear that was coming over Jeremiah and the people based on what God said. And when they knew that the Chaldeans were going to attack when they were coming in, and all of the opposition and the people that were working against Jeremiah and what God had called them to do, it caused stress in his life. Have you ever been stressed out? Have you ever been overcome by all the things that are going on around you that are bad and that are literally life and death? Have you gotten bad news from a doctor, or have you ever been sick, or have you ever, you know, had something happen to a loved one or even to yourself? Have you ever found yourself in a situation that you're just calling on God and it seems like there's no answer? Jeremiah is saying, God, my perpetual pain, my wound that's incurable, oh God, refusing to be healed, will you be to me like a deceptive stream with water that is unreliable? In other words, God, You made all these promises. You said all this stuff to me. You were going to make a way. You were going to care for us. We are your people. And you told Moses this, and you told Abraham this, and over the course of history, all of these things you've promised your people. Are you like an unreliable stream of water that's deceptive and undependable? No, that is not God. That is not our God, saints of God. But I'm sure you, like me, know that feeling. You know what Jeremiah is feeling right now. So the word of God says that God said, if you return, then I will restore you. Before me, you will stand. Hallelujah. I love this. God says, this is between me and the individual. This is between me and you. You repent. You repent, Jeremiah. You repent. You call upon God. And then I will restore you. Come back to me. Return. And if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. They, for their part, may turn to you. But as for you, you must not turn to them. And so, what is God saying? God is saying, you and I need to be restored. You and I need to be bonded together. You come to me. You trust in me. You look to me. And you are able to be an example or a spokesman for me so that people can come to you, but don't you go to them. Don't you go to them. And saints of God, the people of God are not to go to the rebellious or to those who are going against the word of God or the will of God or the ways of God, those who are in a state of confusion and chaos, those who are in a place of deception and ungodliness, those who are in a condition that is designed by Satan to rob you of your life and your joy and your provision and your source. They have nothing to offer you. And so we are not to go to them. We are to go to God. We are to go to God. And this is what God is telling Jeremiah. He says, as for you, you must not turn to them. And so often we go to people who are disconnected from God for information, for help, for strength, to obtain a healing for a particular need. God says, that's not the answer. I am the answer. God is the answer. And we must learn how to call upon the name of the Lord when we have a need, when we are in times of trouble, when we are in difficulty, and we are challenged with the things of life. We must learn how to call upon the name of the Lord. God will orchestrate everything else. He will cause all things to work together for your good when you're called according to his own purpose. This is what God is working out in our lives. This is why we have to eat and choose wisely, that we have to take in the word of God, making sure the word of God is fluent within us. And so verse 20 says, then I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. Hallelujah. And though they fight against you, they will not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you. Hallelujah. Declares the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, we don't have to fight. We just delight ourselves in the Lord. I don't know why. Chicken tonight keeps coming into my mind. Maybe I'm supposed to have chicken tonight. But God has called us to remember him. Remember him. It says, verse 21, so I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grasp of the violent. Hallelujah. God will randomly show up in your time of need, but it's not random, it's calculated. It is timely. And God has to do his work. God has to do his will. He is working in ways that we cannot always see. There are ingredients. Hallelujah. There are nutrients that are in the principles of God that we don't understand. We don't know. We can't really relate to. But it causes the manifestation of God to come about in our situation. God wants to make you a fortified wall of bronze. You will be fought against. You will be spoken against. You will be attacked in various ways, but God says they will not prevail over you. Hallelujah. For I am with you for what? To make you go, ooh, hallelujah. Shandara, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, no. He said, to save you. Hallelujah. Then you can go, hallelujah. But the idea is to have an experience in God. And these are the stories we tell our children. These are the stories that we pass along from generation to generation, how God delivered us, how God made a way for us. And when we read through the Word of God, it ought to trigger memories to you of what God has done for you. Yes, God is faithful. He has done a similar thing for me. He has opened doors for me. He has made me like a fortified wall of bronze that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Oh, saints of God. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of your joy. Hold on and trust in the Lord. Delight yourself. That means go above and beyond joy. That means just have a blast. Throw yourself a party. Just woo! Hallelujah, glory to God. Don't let Satan rob you. Don't let him rob you. He said, I will redeem you from the grasp of the violent. That means even when you they got you. They got you. It's not like, oh, God, save me from. No, they got you. You're like, God says, I will pull you from their grasp. I will pluck you out. Hallelujah. Have you ever been grasped? I tell you, I've been grasped. I'm going to tell you, I've been grasped. I've been chained up. They had me in a vice. They were like pulling me. I was like, no. I'm like, oh, ah. And oh, God says, I will redeem you. He will break those chains. He will break every chain. Break every chain. Oh, saints of God, when you feel that you're in the grasp of the violent, call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. God will redeem you. Hallelujah. This is what God does. This is the reason Christ came into the world. In 1 Peter 2:1, it says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, this is what is required of us if we are going to experience the hand of God. God told Jeremiah and the people, he said, return to me. Come back to my ways. Remember my word. Apply my word in your life. Let my word be the source of your decision making and the principles that will cause you to do the things that you do. Operate in the ways of God. Choose wisely. Allow your mind to be transformed, to be renewed, and allow yourself to become free, setting aside malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. God says, put these things aside. Put them aside. Don't find yourself in that place, put it aside. That means that's a choice that we have to make. That means that we have to have the ability to do that. We have to recognize it. If you don't recognize that you're being a slanderer, or that you're operating as a hypocrite, or you're showing malice, or you're being deceitful or envious, all these things, when you don't see it, it's easy to keep in its grasp. But when you're operating in the Word of God, God gives you a revelation. And God will show you yourself. And He will even send people to speak into your life, to help you along the way, so that you are not found in the place of deception, so that you can have the ability or the option to put it aside. Because if you don't recognize it and you don't know it, then you don't have the option to put it aside, because you don't even know that it's a thing to be put aside in your life. And God says the Word of God will reveal these things to us. He will use the experiences that God is bringing us through in life for the very purpose of putting these things aside. He says in verse 2, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word of God. The milk is the very foundation when you first come to Christ. When you first come to Christ, you don't long for anything except for the fact that you're saved and you love God and everybody wants to go to heaven. But at some point, the Spirit of God begins to move upon you and you begin to desire the Word of God. You become hungry for the Word of God. It's like a newborn baby. No, the baby doesn't come out of the womb and desire fruit punch. Now, you could give it to them, but that would not provide longevity for the child. There's no life in it. But the baby desires its mother's milk. And the baby hungers and thirsts for the milk. And as time goes on, the baby gets to a point, not long after a few tastes, When the mother holds her to her breast, the baby's already searching. Have you ever seen babies do that? I've picked up babies and they start searching. I'm like, no, wrong. No. It's not me. Okay, here's your baby. Hallelujah. Because the baby is longing for the milk. And when you come to Christ, when God saves you, you will long for the milk. You will taste and see that the Lord is good. The Word of God, that is the very foundation that you need in order to have longevity. And you never give up on the Word of God. It is always a part of the meal in the buffet of the Christian life. And so you are to long for the pure milk of the Word so that by it, you may grow. Do you see that? When you're abiding in the milk of the Word, you will begin to grow. You will grow in respect to salvation. You will become more and more like Christ, in other words, of the kingdom of God as opposed to the realm of humanity and of man. You will begin to transition from an earthly being to a spiritual being that is designed to live and operate in the kingdom of God and according to those principles. And so you'll find yourself in a place of duplicity. And so God has called us to this experience through the Word of God. The Word of God is what transitions us. And if you have tasted, verse 3 says, the kindness of the Lord. In other words, once you have tasted and God has done something and given you a revelation, you will begin to desire more of God. The more you walk with God, the more you want more of the Word of God. The more you want of God in your life, the more you will be hungry and thirsty for God. This is the growth process. And so Psalm 19:8-10 says, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, which means it enables you to see things that you otherwise would not see. You begin to recognize what the ingredients are on the label, and you start to be able to discern. And so the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true, and they are righteous altogether. These are all the things that will begin to become fruitful in your life. You will begin to experience as you build and your relationship with God, as you enhance your relationship with the Word of God. They are more desirable than gold, the Word of God says. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. In other words, the Word of God begins to intensify and thicken and bring more revelation and understanding the more you spend time in the Word. It's like churning the milk. The more you churn and churn, it begins to get thicker and becomes like butter. Isn't that right? And so God's Word is the same way. The more you abide in the Word, the more you churn it, the more you chew it on it, the more you allow it to be absorbed into your body as it renews your mind, it becomes sweeter, it becomes thicker, it becomes more enhanced, and it has even honey, it becomes like honey, and even the honeycomb itself. Hallelujah. There's a farm around the corner from my house. And they sell the honey with the honeycomb. And you can get honey with the honeycomb. And they have good honey. And the Word of God is sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. Oh, I hope that you enjoy the Word of God and that you are allowing it to stir. Don't allow Satan to rob you of your time with God, your time in the Word. Allow it to become sweet in your life. The more you churn the milk, the more it becomes a stronger nutrient and provider of strength. Energy will come forth from the honey and the honeycomb. You will have more nutrients being added into your body so that you will become stronger, so that you will become wiser. You won't need high fructose corn syrup because you will have the nutrients of the honey and the honeycomb. Ezekiel 3 says, verses 1 to 3, then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll. Could you imagine? Lord, is this rice paper? And go, speak to the house of Israel. Saints of God, you and I, we must be a people who are eating the Word of God, that we are absorbing the Word of God, allowing its nutrients to fill our hearts and renew our lives, to give us longevity and strength so that we will know what to say, so that we will be able to speak in the wisdom of God, in the strength of God, according to the Word of God, and God's way will come about. He says, so I opened my mouth and he fed me this scroll. That's not in there. I'm just thinking about that. And he says to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll, which I am giving you. God is offering him a meal. Have you ever gone to someone's house and they offer you food? And then you look at it and you go, oh boy. And you start wondering, is there another option? That's happened to me. Yes, it is a rare thing, but it has happened. And it says, he says, well, it's God. Who's going to say no to God? Who's going to say, God, is there another way? Oh, but there is one. Wasn't that what Jesus said when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he was crying out, and the disciples were there sleeping, supposed to be praying with him. And Jesus, he says, Lord, if there be another way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Isn't that what he said? And saints of God, sometimes you feel like Jesus felt. Sometimes we feel like, Lord, is there another way? But God says, eat the scroll. Eat the scroll. And God is serving it up on a plate. And Ezekiel, he didn't say, oh, Lord, you're crazy. I don't eat paper. No, he said, then I ate it. Then I ate it. And it was sweet as honey in my mouth. And that is because when God gives you something to eat, you never know what the real ingredients are until you taste and see. And then you will find it's not what you expected. It's not what you thought. It is greater than you thought. It is better than you thought. It is sweet as honey in your mouth. Eat the word of God, saints of God. Eat the word of God. Don't let anyone rob you. Eat it. Every time you feel hungry, take the word of God. That's the concept behind fasting. When you start to feel hungry, you meditate. You chew on the word of God. You begin to pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Allow God to be glorified. What you believe is what you've eaten. Because it will start to provide nutrients into your heart. It will start to cause you to operate a particular way, to think and see and perceive a particular way. Once you have been tainted in your mind, then everything you see and do that relates to that thing will be tainted. It didn't have to be, but you ate the wrong thing. You took in the wrong words. And instead of the word of God, you believed words that were designed to rob you of your joy and your strength. So you and I are called. We're called to be the people who are meditating on the word of God. And so like digestion, when we meditate on the word of God, it breaks down the word of God at the cellular level. Hallelujah. At the cellular level. And those nutrients from the word of God begin to do something in your soul. The core of your identity, the very person that you are, begins to transform into the image of Christ. You begin to see things the way God sees things. You begin to feel about things the way God feels. Everything about you begins to shift and to change as the living word of God is absorbed into your body. Life and longevity begins to come to you. Oh, make a meal of the word of God, saints. Don't allow Satan to rob you of your time and your relationship with the word of God. Eat it, taste and see. Let the word of God transcend your life. The word of God is a heavenly book. It's a spiritual book written in an earthly form so that you in the realm of humanity can tap into the realm of the Spirit of God. The word brings these two realms together. So you will not just be a carnal being operating in your flesh, going according to your feelings, but you will overcome that and operate in the wisdom of God according to the word of God. Well, we have nutrients that the word of God has for us, and they are sweet to the taste, like honey in the honeycomb. This is what God is working out in our lives. This is what he is doing for us. And God's word, it blends all of this together. Have you ever used a blender? It blends all these things together so that you begin to take on the attributes of Christ. You begin to look and see and perceive and feel like Jesus. You become sweet. Hallelujah. You become sweet. The word of God will sweeten you up. It will tenderize your heart, and it will enable you to see and feel and perceive things the way God does. We have something sweet for you today as a reminder from the word of God, and it'll be coming around. as the Word of God, just be reminded that the Word of God is sweet and it is worth every bite. Oh, it is tasty morsels. God will make a way for you. In Hebrews 5:12, he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food." Saints of God, there are too many Christians that should be Christians by now. They've been Christians so long. They ought to be helping others through this process. They ought to be helping other people in their relationship with the Word of God and with their walk with God. But they're not. They still need someone to hold them like a baby and feed them milk. They still need someone to care for them like a newborn babe. But God says you've got to grow up. You've got to start to abide in the Word. When you abide in the Word, you start to enhance your skills and your abilities in the ways of the Lord and your perceptions of the things of the Spirit of God. And God begins to make you like Himself. You will get to a point where your testimony, your stories of what God has done for you will begin to cause other people to become hungry for the milk. And as you walk with God, He will bring you to a place where you can have solid food, also known or translated as the meat of the Word of God. God says you can't just drink milk like a baby. Sooner or later, you want to have meat. And you don't want meat with soy fillers. You want meat that is 100% beef. Hallelujah. You want 100% beef. You wonder why Wendy's said, "Where's the beef?" Because in those days, it was 100% beef. Now, it is no more. You got to go to Five Guys because they're one of the few that has it. And so, saints of God, go for the 100% beef of God's Word. Allow the Word of God to impact your life, to cause you to become hungry, then you will grow and mature in your walk with God. After you have experience after experience, after God churns you with those experiences, you begin to recognize and see the precepts of God come alive and the faithfulness of God come alive, and you will find yourself having a full course meal of solid food. You will be eating on your own. No more bottles. No more being held in the arms. You'll be able to sit at the table. The Word of God says that He is preparing a banqueting table for us. Oh, there won't be any babies at that banqueting table. Everybody will know how to use a knife and fork. Hallelujah. And there's no high chairs there at the table. Oh, I didn't see any high chairs. I see the pictures all the time, the artist's friend. They never put a high chair at the table. In the upper room, there was no high chair. Saints of God, God says, grow up, mature in your walk with God, but make sure you are abiding in the Word of God, because without the Word of God, you will not grow. You will be stuck on milk for the rest of your life, and you'll have to wait to heaven and see what God does. But I tell you, there may not be any guarantee that you even have what you're supposed to have to get to heaven, because when Christ comes into your life, you become thirsty and hungry for the milk. And if you don't desire the milk, maybe you don't know God like you think you do. Babies are hungry for milk. And when you become a child of God, you become hungry for the Word. And you will be desiring the things of God. Don't be distracted by all of the religious practices that are available to us. Make sure the Word of God is yours and yours alone, that you are eating directly from the Word of God for yourself. Don't go through a whole lot of other people, because you don't know what they're sprinkling into that Word. Oh, you might think it's 100% beef, but there's a lot of filler being added to the Word of God. while you're watching YouTube and while you're watching all these programs and doing all these things, and we're going through the buffet. God says, pick up the book for yourself. Grab hold of the book for yourself. Allow the Spirit of God to speak to you, to bring revelation to you. Have a relationship with the Word of God. Saints of God, desire the milk of the Word so that you can grow up to solid food. In my experience, people who spend their time going through all kinds of other people don't mature in their walk with God because there's too much filler. And by the time they get any nutrients at all, doesn't have what they need to have when times of difficulty and trouble comes into their life. And they find themselves overwhelmed and overtaken because they're mere infants and they cannot handle the responsibilities of life. They cannot handle the stress and the challenges and the difficulties of life. And when the enemy comes in and grabs them and begins to squeeze them, they begin to fall apart and they fail to call upon the name of the Lord. This is why so many people refuse prayer when the devil shows up. They don't want to hear anything about prayer. They don't want to connect with God because they're not of a right spirit. And when you're not of a right spirit, you will repel the Word of God, the truth of God. But when Christ is arising in you, you are hungry for it and you rush into it. He says in verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food or meat is for the mature, who because of practice, now that means you go through some stuff. That means you endure the stirring. You endure challenges and difficulties. You have your senses trained to discern good and evil. Oh, saints of God, I pray that your senses are trained. Not your mind is trained. Your senses are trained. Spidey senses. Holy Spirit senses are trained to discern good and evil. This is what God wants you to do. Taste and see, saints of God, that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. I pray that you are taking refuge in the Lord. I pray that you are experiencing God for yourself, not through someone else, not from some story that you've heard, not from some testimony from other resources or sources, but you have a direct connection with God. You are abiding in him. You are walking with him. You are communing with him. You are able to experience him because of what you're eating. You are eating the Word of God. You are experiencing the truth of God. Taste and see, saints of God, that the Lord is good. And allow God to be glorified and magnified in your life. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand. Well, saints of God, I pray that you are able to sing of the goodness of God today. I pray that you are able to taste and see that the Lord is good. The Word of God is sweeter than a honeycomb. That is why you have chocolate today. And I pray that as you taste the challenges and the strategies of life, that you will learn the faithfulness of God. If you don't have any problems, then you're never going to know the faithfulness of God. But because in this world, Jesus said we will have tribulation, you can rest assured you will have plenty of opportunity to see the faithfulness of God. God will prove himself again and again and again. All we need to do is abide in the Word of God. Allow Him to stir us, and we will surely find ourselves in a place where we are at the banqueting table of God with a full course meal, declaring the faithfulness of God, because His testimonies are true and they are right and they are sure. God is faithful. And so you are what you eat, saints of God. And I pray that you're eating at the table of the Lord around the Word of God. Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you for your Word today. And I ask, oh God, that you would strengthen us as we go out of these doors, that you would make provision for us, and that you would give us traveling mercy. And even as we endure the challenges of another week, that you would be with us, and that you would be our source of refuge and strength, that you would be our shelter in our times of the storm, and that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up and exalted in our lives. Fill us and sustain us. Keep us from sickness and disease. Enable us to overcome every obstacle of the enemy as the Word of God comes to life within us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, God bless you all. And thank you for coming to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. Hallelujah. You coming back?